Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Day five, we're here. Jakob Ingebrigtsen, he has a Great Britain problem. He has a British problem. It's official. He thought it was a Jake Whiteman problem. Jake Whiteman out for the season due to his dealing with injuries. You're like, all right, his one kryptonite isn't here anymore. Now we learned it's not Jake Whiteman. It is the British, because Josh Kerr kept the gold in the same country, takes down Jakob Ingebrigtsen. I think that's whatever happened the past 4 days, whatever happens the next five or four, that is the most ridiculous thing that I've saw and will see in the year of 2023. Olivia, how you doing?
You know, when I woke up this morning, I was great. I was watching Worlds. I was doing great. I was like, literally, I was about to message you and be like, wow, nothing dramatic out of the blue occurred. We're good. Like, predictions are coming in good. And then, boom, just like freight train coming through. It just took a turn and everything just kind of spiraled. But welcome to the World Championships, day five. Anything can happen.
Let's start with that men's 1500. The race played out very similar to the worst race of Jakob's career, which was last year in the 1500-meter final. It was a 329, 328 type race with a fast kick. And Jakob fell apart in the exact same manner, it feels like, as he did last year in Eugene. And you would think Jakob, being the talent he is, being the ability he has to dominate races, to control races, to toy with, to have fun in the rounds, to like wave to the crowd, make things hard for him, to run fast times, to go on winning streaks, that he learned his lesson last year when he lost to Whiteman. But he must have just had amnesia or forgot when he went to bed, Men in Black style, erased his memory of what happened last year, and he just redid the thing that didn't work. He did the thing that didn't work, and Josh Kerr took advantage of it. Now, it takes a great athlete to take advantage. We don't want this to become a Jakob lost the race and Josh Kerr got lucky. Josh Kerr still had to show up, run 329, outkick Jakob in the final 200. But man, Jakob definitely had opportunities to not make it a possibility for Kerr to be in the race with 200 to go. And man, I'm just baffled that he allowed it to happen again. What Jakob needs to do. Sorry, I'm going on a long rant here, Olivia. I apologize.
I'm just
getting it all out.
Get the thoughts out. Get the thoughts out.
Jakob needs to never run 329 to 330 races. 328 to 332. He needs to stay out of that range. Because when you're 330 331 to 328 range. It's not fast enough to get rid of everyone's kick, but it's also not slow enough to have your best kick. And so it's that weird gray area where other athletes of this similar ability can match with you because you can't have that separation. You can get that separation when you make it super hard, when you make it a 326 type race and it is from the gun, then there's just so much lactic acid buildup that people fall apart. You also can make it really slow and then be like, I'm a speed demon. If we're running 335, I'm going to close in sub 25 seconds in the last 200. So there's like the extremes where you know your kick can win. But in that middle, that kick sometimes can get beaten. And Jakob, the guy's been around. He's not a newcomer to this. He's won many global medals. And he just, for some reason, didn't put together. I'm really excited to listen to what he says post-race to see why that happened, because this was seeing Michael Jordan put up 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter of the NBA Finals. That's what we saw. This was Tom Brady throwing an interception in the two-minute drill at the end of a playoff game. It doesn't happen. And now, you're like, we really thought last year was an albatross, just a one-off. Was it? What's the phrase? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or is it the other way around? No, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The shame is on me right now. The shame is all over Gordon because that was not supposed to happen. Footnote, I'm a huge Josh Kerr fan. And if it's going to be anyone to beat Jakob, Kerr doing it is awesome. Followed him all the way through his New Mexico days. I put money on him to medal. I should have put money on him to gold. I would have won 10x the amount of money. But Josh Kerr.
Round of applause there.
You did it, man. You did it. Olivia, what are your thoughts?
There's three takeaways I can take from Jakob today. Number one, kind of like what I've been alluding to over the course of this week, right? Like we're seeing different athletes set up their race plan throughout the rounds, okay? Have we been seeing that with Jakob, right? Like the last two rounds, he has been in the back, hanging out, moves up. That's thought number one. Thought number two is, do we think that he was triggered or at any point of that race, did he have any kind of self-doubt that he was going to see what we saw last year happen again? And thought number three is, I don't know if he had his wonderful pistachios today. So that also could have played a role in all of this too. Those are my three takeaways.
Yeah, I like a little plug to take in there. We'll thank our sponsors when we get into the men's 400 hurdles.
Yeah.
But I guess my final thoughts on this whole thing is Kerr has said that when you're an elite runner, you look at the sport differently than when you're on the side of it like I am. And when I see greatness, I just assume they're invincible. You know, when you watch Bolt, you're like, no one's ever going to beat him. You watch someone like Mo Farah, you're like, no one's ever going to lose to him. He's not going to lose to anyone else, I meant. And you put this, that you put them on pedestals because you're not used to seeing them lose. But the other athletes, they're like, well, they got two legs. He has two arms, two eyes, two ears, a nose. He has white blood cells and red blood cells just like me. Why can't I have a great day and beat him? And Josh Kerr just showed that. Same way Whiteman showed that last year, that even the best can stumble. It's just hard to imagine Jakob stumbling in a race where he had 1,500 meters of opportunity to take control. This isn't a false start situation or side cramp situation. He had the ability to say, I'm better than everyone here. Hey, guys, let's go run 326. If you can beat me running 326, congrats. But he chose to think about that he had the 5K coming up. I'm not going to have to go out hard. I trust that no one's going to be with me with 50 meters to go, but Josh Kerr was. And Josh Kerr He was an Olympic medalist. He got bronze in 2021, I believe. Didn't medal last year. Now wins gold this year. You now have to put Kerr in that category of like floor being a medal. You beat Jakob and you get an Olympic medal. Your floor now going into 2024 and 2025 has to be third or higher. You know, Jakob, because it's Jakob, it's still going to be the favorite. But now Kerr is like, all right, two spots are going to medalists. Kerr and Ingebrigtsen are getting two of the medals. 2024 and 2025, there's only one medal available for the rest of the world, which is kind of crazy. Two people get two medals. And then what is it, like 7 billion other people? I guess half of them are women. So 3.5 billion men have the opportunity to get one medal. Seems unfair, but I guess that's just how we do it. Kerr and Ingebrigtsen, 2024, 2025.
I just want to know what Jakob was thinking at the 200 mark with 200 to go. Like when he felt Kerr, I wonder like if he felt like he had full control and he wasn't going to get pushed, because just the last 200 meters just looked off to me. Like it wasn't the Ingebrigtsen that we're used to seeing, like the playful, fun one that like when he lines up his hat, it reminds me of Noah Lyles, right? Like when we see Noah Lyles out there having fun, joking in front of the camera, we know we're going to see something fast come out of him. That's just, we know Noah Lyles is in that space. And I wonder if Ingebrigtsen felt Kerr and was like, oh gosh, was not expecting this. This was not part of the race plan, you know? And he just fell short. And again, you kind of talked about it too, just being human. Like everybody out there is human. Anybody can come down on any given day. But like you said, we have Ingebrigtsen on this really high pedestal from his resume, what he's done. We're like, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be the moment. Silver, silver, silver. Bound to be gold. It wasn't the day for Ingebrigtsen.
You mentioned, what do you think he was thinking with 200 to go? I think he still thought he was going to win with 200 to go, even with Kerr making that big move at the 200 meter mark. I think Jakob was like, oh, great, you made the move, so I can respond. And then he slowly responded, and, you know, he was with them with the 100 to go. He's like, all right, I'm fine. But then when he realized, oh, wait, Kerr didn't go early. He went just long enough they could still hold it. Because I think he was probably banking on Kerr is going to use up all of his energy from 200 to go to 100 to go. And then he's going to take advantage of it. But Kerr clearly was prepared for a final 200 and not just a final 200 with the last 50 kind of falling apart. So,
yeah.
Hey, Kerr was prepared. He mentioned, if I'm in the race with 200 to go, I believe I can win. He was right. Kerr's doing a good job of being right. He was wrong last year. He talked a big game last year and came up short. So I think a lot of people were probably looking at like, hey, you said – You talked a lot of shit in 2022, and you didn't get it done, so it doesn't mean. But now that he talked shit in 2023, and it worked, now we're like, all right, now you got a point. You got a medal in 2021. You beat him in 2023. Man, Josh Kerr, gotta love it. And he's backing it up, and big ups to him. I will say, though, to round out this topic, the Americans – Nagus, we thought was going to be in contention. He was never in it. Cole Hawker was in the back. I think that makes sense for Nagus to finish where he finished. This was his first like real taste at being a medal contender. And I think he just wasn't prepared for the uniqueness of a race like this. I do think, though, his talent plus now a year of experience, Nagus should be one of the guys who should be in the medal contention next year. I just think he needed a 1 year of figuring it out, because a third race of 1500 is so different than a Diamond League race or a Miller Rose Mile. It's just so different. So Nagus still runs well. He got fifth, I believe. Hawker finished seventh, which is only one place worse than his Olympic finish when he got sixth. But Norway goes 2-3. Pretty cool. But yeah, the story's all Josh Kerr. Really, the story is Ingebrigtsen losing. That's how good Ingebrigtsen is. And yeah, if I had to say, again, I love Josh Kerr. All the flowers. All of them. Get a whole bouquet. A week's of worth.
Roses. Not flowers.
1-800.
Roses. Yeah, roses.
And I'm gonna chop off the spiky parts of the stem to make sure you can enjoy them and not cut your fingers, because you deserve it all. All of them. You get all the flowers. But Jakob lost this race. Jakob lost this race. Josh didn't win it. Jakob lost it. Again, all the flowers to Josh, because you need to be the best in the world to take advantage of Jakob choking. But Jakob lost. Josh,
yeah,
two medals and two out of three global championships. He's gonna be here for a while. So I'm excited for him versus man. Imagine 2024 and Jake Whiteman is healthy and they're on the start line and the order is Jake, Jakob, Kerr, and Jakob's just standing there in the middle between Jake and Josh and being like, my 2022 demons and my 2023 demons just with me. They go everywhere I go because they're in the same prime years. But anyway, congrats to Josh. You know, congrats to Jakob on a good season. We'll see him. He'll win the 5K. So things are fine. Anyway.
All right. 400 meter hurdles. Hey,
but before we do that, Olivia, how about this? Yes. Why don't you do the ad read?
You want me to do that?
Can you do that? Yeah. Let's see. I bet you do a better job than I would.
Okay. Well, Gordon, are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that packs with a real protein punch? Because take a crack at this source of protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of wonderful pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all, Gordon. Pistachios are also known for their fiber, better for you unsaturated fats, which help keep you feeling fuller longer, especially with these long days of world championships starting 3 a.m. Central Time all the way to 3 p.m. Central Time. It's a long day of world. So, and you know what the best part is? Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family, your friends, taking you out on your summer vacations, which are wrapping up as you head off to school. So whether you're dropping the kiddos off or running through meetings, fuel yourself with healthy and a tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Great job, Olivia.
Thank you.
I think wonderful is going to want you to say it moving forward because I stumble on my words too much.
How to learn from the best though, Gordon. So it's all good.
All right. I'm not going to lie. Remember day one, we saw Femke Bol fall. And then the tank, no. We saw Safwan Hassan fall from Netherlands. And then the next race, Femke Bol of the Netherlands fell. And you saw, whoa, Netherlands, back-to-back races, dramatic loss. Right?
Yes.
So my brain was like, we just saw the Norwegian, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, have a dramatic loss. The next race down the line was the men's 400 hurdles. Could we see a back-to-back Norwegian loss where we see Carson Wilholm get upset after his countryman Jakob got upset? But no, we didn't have the perfect story of back-to-back Norwegian losses because Carson Wilholm did not miss, did not put together a dramatic type race or like holy crap jaw-dropping type race, but he didn't need to. Dos Santos wasn't clearly 100%, fell out of the top three. Benjamin was in it with about, for the first 250 meters or something. But Wilholm was just being consistent and was just the strongest man on the track that day and was able to get it done with a modest victory. It seemed like this is one of those wins that when you win this type of race, it shows that it gets you scared that when Warholm's on another one, it's going to be even more impossible to beat him, especially next year when he's going to be healthier coming off the injury last year. But This is a sign of Warholm just showing utter consistency in his dominance when healthy.
We were both kind of watching it together, you know, virtually. And I'm like, I'm just nervous for this race. And I don't know why. I think I was just excited for Benjamin to get out there, do his thing. I was like, can Benjamin take down Warholm? Like, can we see that? And like you said, the first 200, 250 meters, like Benjamin was right in the mix. And then what ends up happening is Warholm just does Warholm things. I felt like Warholm felt the pressure. And unlike Ingebrigtsen, was able to respond and continue that momentum going home. Because at that point, Warholm coming off the curve just decided to get to the finish line first. And it was just absolutely, like you said, it wasn't like crazy, woo, like I'm throwing my phone because it was just like craziness. But like, it was enough for me to be like, okay, Warholm has showcased dominance. And I felt like Benjamin was just right there and just couldn't get the job done today.
Looking at the chat, follow the light. Did a little comparison. Rye is Johan Blake of the 400 hurdles. Right, great talent, gonna run fast times, but he always had Bolt ahead of him. You look here, Rye Benjamin, great talent, fast times, but he's always gonna have Warholm ahead of him. And you gotta say this was the one for him to win. Warholm was it was a B plus version of Warholm last year. He had Dos Santos on fire, so he should have been able to beat Dos Santos, but turned out Rye was dealing with some little bit of injuries or whatever. So you're like, all right, next year. Warholm was not A-plus Warholm. He was a B-plus Warholm. Rye, coming off of running some 46-second 400 hurdles, cruised in the U.S. trials, you think, hey, man, you just got to run 46 low, and you're a world champion. And he just fell apart, fell down to third. So it wasn't even close. McMaster, congrats to McMaster finding a way to get into the top three, because everyone had it as a Warholm, Benjamin, and Dos Santos top three. Should have bet on McMaster. Yeah. God dang it. Should have made that money. But yeah, this was the opportunity. And I just feel like he's running out of opportunities, because every year he gets older and, you know, Dos Santos is young. He's going to be better next year. Warholm's going to be better next year. Yes, Benjamin's going to be better next year, but you only get so many shots at the king, and you better not miss, right? You better not miss, and he's missed now 3 years in a row.
I'm kind of similar to how I felt with Ingebrigtsen in the last 200. I want to know what Benjamin was thinking the last 150. Because he was there. Well, it wasn't like he was out of touch. He was right there. They were stride for stride, hurdle for hurdle. It wasn't like the first 200, 250. I'm watching this. I'm like, okay, Warholm and Benjamin, they're right there, right next to each other. And then it was just like a flash, like snap of the fingers. It was just like Warholm just decided to continue that momentum and Benjamin just couldn't respond. So again, I'm curious to know Benjamin's thoughts after the race, once we get those interviews. But
yeah,
he was there.
I just feel like it was an uncharacteristic race for Benjamin. He is better than what he ran. He looked good through the two rounds. But Warholm, that's always a story. Every time we have like a whole regular season, you see fast times and diamond leagues and people do crazy things at random collegiate invitationals. And even people have phenomenal NCAA championship type performances. At the end of the day, nothing compares to the three rounds of a global outdoor championship. One, it's three rounds. Two, it's late in the year. So your legs have been through it, and not everyone had the same type of buildup that you had. Three, there's the pressure. And four, there's the experience. I made up those four things. How's that? That sounds like a good little speech I just made, right? That sounds like a good analysis of... I'm going to say that again. One, it's the three rounds. Two, it's the time. Three, it's the pressure. And four, it's the experience. those four things, if you have those four, if you master those four, you win gold. If you get three of those four, you get silver. If you get two of those four, you get bronze. And if you get one of the four or less, if you get one of the four, you make the final. And if you get none of the four, you don't make the final. And by get, I mean you get the master. If you're a master of the time, the pressure, the experience, and the rounds, you win gold.
That's the key.
That's the key. I'm going to trademark that.
We're inside it.
I'm
going
to trademark that. Yeah, I should be a coach.
Go ahead and do that.
I'll be a great coach. I was talking, for those listening to podcasts, you know, but I was talking to Kevin about how, like, hey, what if I just text all the elite athletes, go for a run, and I could be like their virtual coach, and then I can get credit for like, hey, I told Grant Holloway to cool down after his race. So, you know, in a way I kind of helped Grant win gold medal. I'll do this. So I'll tell people to run via text and also tell them, hey, make sure you have the experience, the pressure mastered, the time, and the rounds. I'm going to start a Patreon. Or no, I'll start a, what's that thing that people are selling? What they sell, like masterclass. Masterclass.
Masterclass.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No one's going to sign up, but it's going to be great.
And I was thinking about this yesterday. I know how we talked about running the other person's race. There was some, I'm trying to figure out who said in their post-race interview with us yesterday. I'm trying to like scroll through the site real quick and see if I can find it. But someone did say that they were trying to keep up with someone else. So run the other person's race. And I thought of you.
Oh, really?
Really funny. Yeah.
Did they
I'm really trying to remember who it was that said it. But I'm literally trying to like scan through the site right now.
Put it out in the world. Once you say it, it's like the New York Times crossword puzzles. Once it's out there, people just start absorbing that information.
Exactly. Anyway. So I guess someone took our advice.
Congrats, Warholm.
Run someone else's race. Warholm.
Getting another win. Benjamin third and McMaster for second. All right. Women's 400 final. Let's be honest. Going into the year, we thought this was going to be the greatest 400 final ever. You'd had maybe a Sydney, a healthy Britton Wilson, a Femke Bol in it. You had Paulino. You had Nasir. You said more and more, all these different athletes. But then eventually different women pulled out for different reasons, did different events. And Paulino, who was the one to really take advantage of the absence of some of these top women because she's a 48-second runner, gets the win. First athlete from Dominican Republic to win the title, 48-76. Paulino really was no match for anyone else. Kaczmarek and Williams were the only other two women to break 50. Adeleke, NCAA champion from Texas and Ireland. So Austin, yeah. She gets fourth. I put money on her to get third, and I lost then $100. But it's okay. Still love you, Adeleke. Hell of a long season. To go from, you know, whatever Longhorn dual meet in January to August 23rd, getting fourth in the world is a hell of a good run. So,
but not even just racing. Like, training, too. Like, she's training before January. So she's been competing, since January for the last 8 months, but all the blood, sweat, and tears and the grind and the base building, she's been doing that since probably September, so almost a whole year.
So I'm going to do it, Olivia. I'm going to do it. You ready?
What are we doing? Well, what are you doing?
What would have Sydney have run if she was on that starting line?
Well, we know she's been dealing with some knee issues. Are we talking current status? Like if she was to run through the knee pain, or are we talking like healthy Sydney?
The Sydney that we thought we were going to get. The Sydney that we saw at USA's.
Okay. It would have been close between her and Paulino for sure. Maybe 40.
You think it would have been close?
Yes. Yes.
I think Sydney runs 40.
You don't think it would have been close?
No, Sydney runs like sub 48.25. For sure.
48.25?
Yeah. 48.2.
Okay, well,
give or take,
Foligno just won
0.1.
47, so what do you mean?
Yeah, 0.2 is very different from 0.7. Half a second, that's a, you know, that's far.
Yes.
Yeah, she would have destroyed it. It would have been close.
So you're saying Sydney would have won. That's what you're
yes.
saying.
Sydney would have ran 48.2 and won by half a second.
Okay. Okay.
But you said it would have been close.
I felt like it would have been close. Paulino, you got to remember, pretty much ran that by herself. 48.76 by herself. Second place is 49.57, almost a
True.
Whole second later. So Sydney imagine yeah. getting pushed, you know? Definitely would
well,
have been a lot
closer.
She would
have been getting pushed. She would have been getting pulled. Because
Stop.
Sydney would have been ahead. Sydney
oh
would have been
my
pulling
goodness.
Her. You would have been pushed. You would have been pulled.
Pulled?
That's
okay.
a big difference. It's a big difference.
They would have been challenging each other for sure on that back stretch. It would have just been all punches. That
well, here's
back
the thing.
100.
If you think Sydney would have been pulling or pushing Paulino to a faster time, then I'll lower. Then I'll say Sydney would have ran 47.9. I don't think she would have, but I think no matter what, Sydney would have ran at least 0.5 seconds faster than Paulino in whatever
no.
direction.
No. 0.5, half a second? Regardless?
You know,
no.
Olivia. Olivia
no,
Olivia.
I definitely feel like it would have been.
Have you
it would
been
have been
under
like
a rock?
How we saw. No, I haven't. I feel like it would have been like an Allyson Felix versus Shawnee Miller-Weibo.
No, it would not. Shine. No. You're
yes.
giving Paulino too much
yes.
credit. You're giving Paulino
yes.
too much credit. No.
Gordon, did we watch the same race? Did
I
you
think
watch
so.
The
was it at
7:06?
It was at, yeah, you watched. It was at 2:35 Central, right? That's what time it was at on NBC.
So about an hour ago, right? Yeah.
No, on USA Network.
Gordon,
yeah, I was watching that one. Yeah.
No, it would have been, there would have been some dives, no falls.
You
dives at the finish
it would
line.
Not have been a, it would not have been a, it would not have been a Shawnee versus
yes, it
Felix
would have.
Type finish.
Yes, it would have.
Shawnee and Felix are at different level than Paulino. Paulino's great. 48.7 is great. But I just, Sydney ran 50 seconds, excuse me, right? What was her time that she ran the hurdles? What was her world record? I should know this number. God dang it. I can't believe I've... What did she run? She ran 50.68, okay? What place would she have gotten in this if she had hurdles in her way?
That's a great question.
What place would she... Yeah, she would have finished... 50. She would finish seventh in this race
okay.
if she had 10 hurdles.
Okay.
Okay? You take away all 10 of those hurdles, she runs 48.2. That's just the math. It's science. I looked it up. I did the converting. There's a conversion for... taking away the hurdles. And the conversion is 48.2.
Okay.
Not a lean.
Paulino was not pushed. Paulino was by herself yeah. in this race.
Pull, not push.
She was pulling. She was pulling the rest of the field. Now just imagine. Like, I don't feel. I think it would have been close. Close in a
okay.
great way. Because we would have seen these women. Put it all on the line, going for gold, two individuals that don't want to lose. They come and they show up to compete. That's my final say. I think it would have been closer. And I definitely feel like it would have been faster than 48.7.
The one thing we can agree on is that she would pull her, not push. That's the real thing I would care about right here. Of all this conversation... lean, not lean, 0.5, 0.2, whatever. She would have pulled her across the finish line, not pushed her.
Okay.
Right? We can agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going with the word challenged here.
Challenged. There we go. All right. there were some prelims early in the morning. Confession alert.
Yes.
Like other morning sessions, I did not watch live. I watched tape delayed on Twitter. Just watch the highlights. Which when... it's kind of like the same thing as watching live because I didn't look at results. I was just like, all right, they all happen. I'm just going to open my phone and then I'm going to watch the men's and women's 200s as if it's happening in real time. But I would say nothing too crazy, right? Nothing too crazy. I don't think we should expect crazy in the first round, especially when they're be doing this over a 3-day period. So obviously all the big guns make it through. I was surprised that Julian Alfred ran for the women, because I remember her coach mentioned that she was only going to be doing the 100. So I thought that maybe she would have scratched the 200, but she didn't. She ran. They all look good. It just, we know it's going to be a Sha'Carri, Gabby, Sharika show, right? That's what we know. And like clockwork, we get Sha'Carri and Sharika in the same heat in the semifinals, which I'm excited about. So
that's gonna be interesting.
Similar to the semifinals in 100, where Sha'Carri had to go up against Sharika and Tolu. Now Sha'Carri has to go up against Sharika in the semifinals. And I was surprised that looking at the odds makers still have Sharika as a heavy favorite. Like Sha'Carri's like a plus 300 to win, which I'm like, we just saw the 100, right? We saw Sha'Carri take down all the Jamaicans and run 10.65 in lane 9. And we think she's still the underdog and it's 200. It seems kind of weird. I understand, though, Gabby Thomas and Sharika Jackson better in the 200. Sha'Carri's better in the 100. But I don't know. Did you get any other takeaways from this woman's side in these 200s?
Yes, a lot of people were putting the brakes on. Everyone was like freaking out. It was insane. We saw it with Kayla White. I know we're about to talk about the men's 200, and I think that's where it was a little bit more obvious. But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, going round for round, taking one step at a time. I know we were going to circle back to this question with Sha'Carri Richardson being the top woman going into this 200 meter final. And I still stand by what I said. I am a Sha'Carri Richardson fan. However, just looking at how Sharika Jackson has been performing at this distance, I still feel like Sharika Jackson, I feel like, is feeling the pressure a little bit. In a good way.
Wait, who's feeling the pressure? Sharika?
Yeah, like she, I feel like with her going into these championships, she's probably thinking in the back of her mind, I'm probably the top woman going into this final, this 200 meter, you know, they're going through the series right now, has the target on her back, essentially. So I feel like she feels that pressure a little bit, just knowing like she's going to walk in and do what she does.
Yeah, you could also argue though, Sha'Carri has the pressure because she doesn't want to end the championship with like a loss. Like she got the, man, now that I think about it, I don't think she cares, because
no,
even if she were to
I feel
like
you finished that process of your thought, but I was like, no,
yeah,
Sha'Carri does not care about what anybody thinks right now.
She could bow and get seventh in a 200. She's still the 100 meter champion. So
yeah,
but with that thought, that means Sha'Carri has the ultimate like house money type run, because she knows whether or not she wins or gets dead last, it's gonna be whatever. There's gonna be no like criticism of her regardless of what place she finishes, because that's all gone now. So she's kind of like house money in a way, which should be scary. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm gonna put my money on this 200. You know, do I want to try to bet Sha'Carri for the win, or do I want to try to bet like the best odds on the medalist between Gabby, Sha'Carri, and Sharika? It's more fun though. I kind of want to just bet Sha'Carri to win and then just have fun with it.
Have fun with it.
Which I've been losing a lot of money having fun. I bet a lot of $100 bets people. We're like, hey, yeah.
I feel like you're a risk taker. You're a risk taker. So this wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think you should just go all in on that one. So put Sha'Carri up front.
Adesia Hodge, 17-year-old.
Yes.
From the British Virgin Islands. Indoors, she was dominating that 200. She ran that 22 seconds at New Balance indoors. She gets the cue.
Yep. She gets the cue. Indoor national record holder, U20 and U18 record holder with that performance indoors with a 22.33. And I had to do some digging because it said, like she said, a personal best of 22.82. And I was like, no, I feel like Deja's run faster. She went 22.64 during the outdoor season to win New Balance National Outdoors. But like, if you look at her whole resume, she's been hitting 22s, but all of them have been win dated. So like, she finally gets another one underneath her belt where she has that win legal mark. And 17 years of age, about to be a senior this upcoming school year. So excited to see what she does. I think she's going for experience. Say it again, Gordon.
Has she announced where she's going to college?
No, not yet. Sprinters typically, we'll hear a little bit more of the sprinter side later in the year. Right now, cross country and distance runners are starting to make their verbal commitments. Yeah.
Got it. Men's 200, everyone through.
Yes. Barely.
I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to believe in I believed in Kenny B to win the 200 all the way back last year, and he looked really good. Mm-hmm. He looked really good. Now I get it. Tobogo, Hughes, Knighton, and then obviously Lyles are all in this race as well. But Kenny B is showing no signs of giving me any doubt yet. Now,
it's the first round, Gordon.
It is the first round, and it's absolutely nothing. But I'm trying to grasp on this bold prediction I made. It would be so great if it happened. If Kenny B won the 200, especially beating a 100-meter champion Noah Lyles, American record holder Noah Lyles, like, it would be the most ridiculous thing. It'd be as ridiculous as Josh Kerr beating Jakob Ingebrigtsen. It would be as ridiculous as Femke Bol losing the 4x4 mixed relay. So
that'd be the most ridiculous thing ever. It would be. If Kenny B could beat Noah Lyles right now, I would be completely speechless. I probably wouldn't have any words to say on this podcast. I'd be done.
Well, save this clip and we'll play it back in a couple days. And either you'll be watching it being like, I told you, Gordon, or I'll be watching it being like, I am a god of predicting men's 200 meter finals. So
right now bet in for Kenny B winning the 200. Like, you have that.
I don't
in
have
already,
the bet in yet.
Or no?
I don't have the bet in. Okay. I probably should put it in now.
But that's what you're going for? Is that what it's going to be? Or are you going to put medal?
No. Yeah, so that's the thing. So my personal prediction was him to win, but I have no money on that personal prediction. But as you know, I'm losing money here. We'll go over it later in the pod, but I'm down $275. Do I just want to automatically go down another $100 by picking Kenny B to win? So I think I'm gonna probably
Whoa!
Do Kenny B the medal.
Are you wait?
No, that's not me admit. No. Hold
wait.
On. Wait. I take.
Wait a second, y'all.
That was.
Didn't
that
you
was,
just
was
say?
I didn't. I don't know. Scratch the record. Connections. What? Huh? What? I can't hear you.
Connection's bad, refresh? Right?
My connection's
bad.
Oh
my goodness.
It was a bad connection.
Wait, say it again, Gordon, because I thought. Go ahead. I must have heard you wrong.
Okay. Kenny B is going to win the men's 200 meters in Budapest in the final in 2023. I'm still holding to that.
Okay.
I don't even think Kenny B knows that I'm predicting. I think I told him one time at Texas Relays that I said he's going to win gold. And he's like, okay. I was like, I don't think you understand. I'm literally the only one outside of your family and your coach and you who thinks you're going to beat Noah Lyles. Like, you can count on you could probably put in a school bus the amount of people who think Kenny B is going to win global gold. And I'm driving that school bus. Now, the question is,
really,
are we driving off a cliff? Or are we driving into the Hall of Fame with, hell yeah, we pulled off the unthinkable? We'll see. But Kenny B, still my pick to win. I don't know how, but we'll see. We'll see.
At this point, anything can happen, as we have seen the last 5 days.
The other prelims going on, we finally got a thing, Mo. She was on the track. She's running.
Finally.
She's there.
I was pumped.
And to all those rumors. This seems like a big ploy. This seems like maybe she put that out there just to create content, you know? Maybe a thing Mo is like, hey, I'm going to tell them I might not run. And then people are going to go crazy. And then I'm going to run. And now Keeley Hodgkinson and Mara Mora are now freaking out because they thought they had a direct line to a 1-2 finish. But now she's in the way. So all the top women get through. I think the biggest news was on the American side, Kayla Edwards didn't get through. Nia Akins looked good. Rogers got the job done. But the story here is a thing Mo officially running. We'll see you in the semifinals and then ultimately see if she can win her third straight global title. Be wild.
Be wild.
Women's 5K prelims. Nothing.
That was insane. That first heat was insane. Did you see the first heat, Gordon? It's okay if you
did not.
If not, I'm gonna...
I did not. What happened? What's insane about it? Can tell me. What's it? I mean, it's the women's 5,000 meter prelims. Top eight go in each heat. It's like, whatever.
Gordon.
What's so crazy about it?
The 19-year-old Agathe Sona literally gets out. Like, I'm thinking maybe she thinks she's running a 1500. No, she completely gapped this whole entire field. And I'm sitting here like, wow, she's about to run away with this. And she held on until the last 100 meters and qualified for finals. Like, she had at least a 250-meter lead.
I mean, it's
on
a strategy.
The rest of the field.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it worked here.
It was nuts.
That is wild. Cranny.
If you're able to watch that race, I think you really need to see it.
I'll watch it back. It was crazy. I'll watch it back. That'll be my homework tonight. Watching the women's heat one of the 5K. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. So you say girl from Latvia, 19?
Yeah. Yep. 19 years old. And I was really happy that World Athletics decided to move the 5K prelims to the evening session. I know originally it was in the morning and the athletes have been voicing like, we're so grateful that it was moved just because with the heat, they've been talking about how hot it is and how humid it is right now in Budapest. And so the fact that they were able to run underneath some shade, I think really helped a lot of these athletes there tonight.
Cranny and Monson get through. Natasha Rogers did not. She was the first one out in the second heat. Mm-hmm. Other distance, women's distance prelims. Courtney Weymouth gets through in the steeple. But surprisingly, I mean, Emma Coburn not making the final, I was shocked about that. Emma Coburn, I think, was in heat two of the women's steeplechase.
Yeah.
And something happened. There'll probably be an interview on our website, YouTube channel, or our website about what happened there. But Emma Coburn not making the final, I thought was pretty shocking. Chrissy Gear, this was her first, you know, worlds. This can happen. Courtney Weymouth now, you know, solidifying herself as, you know, now I'm here. Hopefully I can continually to make finals and work my way up as my career progresses. But nothing crazy really happened outside of Emma Coburn not making the final.
Yeah, that was the biggest news, I feel like, from the steeplechase.
And then second to last thing, women's hurdles. We talked about the hurdles yesterday. We'll talk about them again today. Kenny Harrison looking good. I would say the biggest shock, maybe Masai Russell. She hits a couple hurdles and then DNFs, doesn't get through in the 100 hurdles, but we're going to have a great final. You got Jasmine Camacho-Quinn through, Kenny Harrison, Toby Amazon, Nia Ali. It's going to be a quick final. I mean, seeing the way Kenny Harrison's running now back to back, I think Kenny might win. I think Kenny's the favorite now.
Kenny looks good. She looks really good.
Hopefully she's not looking too good. Hopefully she's not wasting her goodness in these first two heats, the first two rounds, that she saved some for the final. And someone like Jasmine Camacho-Quinn is kind of being more conservative because she knows she just has to save it all for that last race. But we'll see. Kenny Harrison looking good, winning her heat 12:33. And then last but not least, women's pole vault. Katie Moon gets the tie. They tied. We have two gold medalists, Katie Moon and Nina Kennedy. Nina Kennedy of Australia. They both tie at 5 meters, 90 centimeters. Katie Moon had to get it on the third and final try. They both get on their third and final try. Then they don't. They all fail in the next height, so they end up deciding to tie. But Katie Moon defending her title. But I think the story here was Nina Kennedy having a massive PB to win her first gold medal. And there was a good moment when they were hugging each other, be like, yeah, we're both champions. Remind me of the Olympics in the high jump.
Yeah, it was great. That was really intense. Whoever thought the pole vault would just get you excited. I know you and I were messaging back and forth like, come on. And the thing was, like, they each had the same amount of misses on the same jumps. So, like, it was either jump for the tiebreaker, like, go after, you know, that clearance one more time, or just let's hug it out and just share the gold. And they share the gold.
Would you share the gold? Or would you share the gold? Or would you be nah, we're not doing this.
What do you ask?
I'm either going down swinging or I'm coming up champion.
Here's my thing. Since I'm not competing and I was watching this, I was really hoping for a jump off. I was like, come on, ladies, like, let's just determine it, jump off.
Yeah.
But personally, if I was in that moment, I probably would have been like, okay, let's just share this gold. Like, I think I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, but
I put in my best effort.
Sharing gold is not the same thing as having gold. Sharing gold is not the same as gold. I'm sorry. It's not. There's a difference between shared gold and gold. It's not. You are not better than everyone else in the world. You are better than everyone else in the world except for one person. Sharing gold is silver. Now, I say that now because I never had gold or silver or bronze or the ability to be in that situation. But I still think sharing gold, it's, I don't know. There's something about it. Like, we're supposed to pick a winner. There's a competition for a reason. The competition is,
I think you
so
might
you're
feel...
saying if all 12 athletes all missed equally, we're just going to give out 12 gold medals?
Well, that wouldn't happen. But I think also because of our sport, we're used to, like, think of the 100. There's no such thing as a tie.
There is. It
happened. There isn't. No.
Bromel.
Don't even get me started.
DeGrasse. Wasn't the Bromel and DeGrasse? They tied for third?
Like, you're able to take it to the hundreds, the thousands to determine that. Like,
no,
I feel like there's
no
such, thing.
Olivia, we literally had a tie in 2017.
No.
Or 15.
Don't believe it. There's no, take it to the gazillions if you need to.
They did that, and it was a tie.
The gazillions?
They went to the gazillions. They went to the
Anywho, it's very rare that that ever happens. And so I think in track and field, we just automatically are like, there's no such thing as a tie. There isn't. Well, so I think because of the situation, you feel like, yeah, there's no such thing. You're not the
best. I just think there should not be ties in championship sports. There should be ties in regular season, but there should never be a tie. Are you telling me that, like, if we're watching the FIFA World Cup and they go to penalty kicks?
I knew you were going to go soccer. I knew it. I was like, Gord's about to bring up soccer right now.
If they go to FIFA World Cup and they're all taking penalty kicks, they go through the first five, it's still tied, then it's, you know, one, it's like the next one wins, they go all the way through the goalies, and they had 11 PKs, and it's still tied, they're not going to be like, all right, England and Italy are your FIFA World Cup champions. No, they're going to go until the end of time, until someone misses a PK.
That's very true.
They're not going to give a tie. And I think, you know, I understand why Katie Moon and Nina Kennedy are like, yeah, let's do it. It's guaranteed gold. Why risk getting silver? But I would think Katie Moon would be like more okay with risking silver. She's already had gold. So it's like, all right, why not? I don't know. Again, no, I don't blame. I probably would ask, I like to think I would say no tie. But if I'm in the situation, I probably would end up saying tie because I'm
That's why
gold.
I said what I said.
Yeah, so I get that. But as a podcaster and sitting in my chair, air-conditioned chair, I'm going to say ties are bad and we should jump off until eternity.
Yeah, I wanted to jump off, to be very honest. I was like, come on, just jump it off. But again,
or they should have done,
I was
like
in that position at the
dash.
World Championships. I'll hug it out with you.
New rule. I think, you know what? Now that I think about it, there should be no jump-offs in field events or throw-offs in field events. in a situation where there's a tie, it's always a 100-meter dash. How much fun would have been seeing Nina Kennedy and Katie Moon run a 100-meter dash? Or seeing...
I don't know if that would have been that entertaining, though.
What are you talking about? Like... You're watching two pole vaulters run for the goal.
They run down a runway. That's
not... Yeah, exactly. But, like, there's no tie. Because you said there's no ties in track races. Perfect opportunity. You're guaranteed to have a tiebreaker because it's a race to the one gazillionth of a second. Imagine there's a tie in the shot put, and you're seeing Ryan Crouser race Joe Kovacs for the gold. And if you're a field athlete and you know that the tiebreaker is a 100-meter dash, you know what that means? You're always, like once a week or once a month, you're going to do a little bit of 100-meter training just in case it comes down to it. You know, so there's going to be a little bit of like, all right, I got to put all my effort in the triple jump. But in that weird situation, I got to make sure I have a good start in my 100-meter blocks. That would make our sport
fun. You don't
fun.
Write the rule book because
no, that would be a
would
great rule book.
Fly.
I think everyone would love
absolutely not.
Field event athletes breaking tiebreakers by 100-meter dash. It's not going to hurt them. They can run 100 meters. It's not like you ask them to run a marathon or a mile. You're just like 100 meters. You know what? 60. Make it 60 meters. 60 meters.
Oh, my goodness. No.
No one in the stadium would leave. Everyone in the stadium would stay, be like, I got to watch Katie Moon and Nina Kennedy run 60 meters. Also, if it's in a field event where there's an implement, like a throwing utensil, or throwing element, or like a pole vault thing, you got to run with your implement. So they got to run the 60 meters while holding a pole vault pole. Or you have to run the 60 meters while holding a shot put hammer or while carrying your javelin.
Ooh, that would be... Ooh. I can imagine
if
hammer.
If you drop it, you're disqualified.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to run for election against SEPCO.
Don't apply for anything for this rule book. I'm telling you that right now. Don't apply for it. Right. Whatever that process is.
So we mentioned betting updates. After day 4, I was down 200. After day 5, which was today, I am now down 275. So I lost an additional $75. I was right on predicting Curt a medal. I was wrong on Benjamin Gold, and I was wrong on Adeleke to medal. So that made me lose more money. But as you know, that was only 21 bets in. There are 49 bets total. And I'm going to make it back. So tomorrow, finals.
Not even halfway through.
Not even halfway through. I'm only down 275. I'm gonna rally right here.
It'd be worse.
So
it'd be worse.
The finals tomorrow are the race walks, men's long jump, women's hammer, women's 100 hurdles, men's 400, and women's 400 hurdles. We also have some semifinals in the 200, 800, and men's 5K prelims. So here are my bets. I don't officially have 3 of my bets as of right now. I have to work on it. I don't have my 100 hurdle bet, my hammer throw bet, or my women's 35K racewalk bet. But I do have the other ones. 35K racewalk men, I'm going with Martin to medal. Long jump, I'm going with Tentaclo to get gold. 400, I'm doing Norwood to medal.
Ooh, we've decided.
Yeah, I've decided.
Ooh.
And 400 hurdles, all right. I'm doing Adekoit. Oh, wait, I don't know his name. Adekoya. Adekoya. Adekoya to medal in the 400 hurdles.
In what event? 400 hurdles?
400 hurdles. Women's 400 hurdles. So Adekoya to medal, Norwood to medal, Tentaclo to get gold in the long jump, and Martin to medal. And the other picks I'll do later tonight.
Wait. Did you say Norwood for gold or Norwood for medal?
Medal. It's a medal.
Medal. Okay. Metal. I thought you said gold. I was like, okay.
No, not gold. I got to stay away from gold. I've been screwing up my gold picks. So I've only got one gold pick right, and it was for the women's 20K race walk. I'm 2-0 in my race walk picks. Let's that be known. I've made.
All right. Well, you need a score.
I've made like $800. Racewalk literally is keeping me afloat. I made $800 in racewalking. So that's what I'm gonna make. I'm gonna make another $800 right now in these next two racewalks. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. So.
Well, I'm proud.
All right. Well, thank you to Greg, our producer. Olivia, thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back 3 p.m. Central, same time, same place. Hopefully, I have $0 in my pocket and not negative $275. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Like and subscribe. Peace. Thank you, Greg. Can you send the file in that Google Drive? Do you-